Welcome to Eagle Nation. Don't forget to join us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter so you never miss an episode.
Well, it was a day to remember if you're an Eagles fan. First, they beat the reigning premiers East Fremantle and the Waffle by 4 points. Their first win in over 2 years at Waffle level. And then after a slow start in the AFL conceding the first 4 goals, it was all Eagles marching on to their first win for the season by 39 points. And with that, I think we need to hear the song.
Born is bright from isolation, a fortress built. We cross the nation, our colors share. West Coast sky, our will to win will never die. We're the Eagles, the West Coast Eagles, and we're here to show you why. We're the big birds, kings of the big game. We're the Eagles, we're flying high.
Welcome my co-hosts and Wayne and Dan. How are you after that win, boys?
Going great. Great to play 4 good quarters and win.
Yeah, it's good to be. It's been a while since we've done the show after a win, so great.
Yeah, look, it's good that we can actually really sit back and relax a bit, I think. Before we get into it, thanks, Tom at Plus Fitness CBO, being a sponsor, and go to Linktree where you can access all our socials and download the episodes from there as well, from all your favourite podcast platforms, however you listen to it. Let's get straight into it. West Coast, 16-13, 109 to 10 goals, 10-70. Well, if you didn't see it and you're an Eagles fan, go back and watch it and replay because it's just as good as watching it the first time. Waterman 6, Yo 2, Petricelli 2, Cripps 2, and for Richmond you had Bolton 3. I'll go and say my positives and negatives and then we can discuss from there, right, guys? The negatives, I think we gave up the first 4 goals of the game, so I was sitting there going, well, where are we going to here? Let's hopefully it changes around. And in the second half, our kicking accuracy was down 5 goals to 11 points in the second half. But the positives were when we apply pressure, we show that we're just as good as any team in the comp. Our senior players, Kelly and Yo, stepped up and took along Harley Reid for the ride. Waterman, best game for the club ever. We won the contested count 144-106. And I don't know about this, but our second quarter has usually been our worst. That was the first time we've kicked 8 goals in a quarter for a long time, and it was the best opening half since round 7, 2021. So where do you want to start? Harley Reid just got rising star, so there's something we can start on, boys. What do you think?
I think he was exceptional yesterday. Yeah. There's a moral now. He'll win this. He'll win that award. There's not another player in the competition that will be ahead of him. And yesterday's performance showed that because he's a kid who's not playing bruise-free football. He's someone who's playing in the middle. He's getting contested every game. He's getting punched every game. He's getting flattened. He's not playing a bruise-free game off the halfback like certain players are in the competition. And he's not running around on his own just getting easy kick. He's getting the hard kicks, and he's bringing everyone into the game with him. So, to me, that was outstanding yesterday.
Yeah, I can't help but just reiterate what Wayne said. Like, he's not just having good games for a first-year player. He's having good games for a midfielder in the comp. 27 disposals, a goal, and what was it, 7 clearances. That's elite, you know what I mean? And to be doing that at such a young age, and it's great that Kelly and Yo are there because it eases the pressure off him. So it's crazy when you think of, like, a lot of people saying trade out all their old players and wanted everyone trade and that's how we refix it. This is why you don't do it, because your younger midfielders now can flourish and not get all the attention. Do you know what I mean? And he's revving it. Like, imagine, like, when he's a 50-100 game player, if he's doing this in his fifth game, it's crazy. I think we've got something very special in that kid.
Yeah, look, I love the arrogance about him. It's confidence and it's arrogance. Deep in the last quarter when the game's finished, he's in the back pocket, and instead of just kicking it over top, he ran towards the guy on the mark and just kept running past him and left him for dead. I just went, how good is that? I haven't seen that in a young kid. Actually, I don't see it too much in seasoned veterans running around. Just for him to go and do that, he loves finding space. He brings the crowd alive and he brings his teammates alive, I think. It's good to hear and good to see.
I think the good thing yesterday too is that, and we were all talking during the game, is that, you know, I thought the younger guys were a bit down early. Chessa, Long, Ruben, and I reckon he dragged them into the game. In that second half, they all started getting a few more touches, getting into the game a lot more. But look, one guy I've been really critical of over the years, and Woz, you're a big fan of him, and I've got to take my hat off to Petrol, because he's a different player, and he's adding a little X factor into our game, I reckon, because I know Dan's always pointed this out previously, that they're starting to throw him in the middle a bit more now on short bursts, and his kicking sometimes is quite elite out of the middle of the ground there. At a fast pace, he's really controlled himself now.
Do you know? Yeah, and the good thing about his game was, I believe one of his two goals he kicked was actually when he was playing in the midfield. And you know, he's going to be one of those players that's not going to be a ball accumulator, but he's got the pace to burn, doesn't he? It's amazing how a good preseason, he's put on a bit of muscle as well, works wonders, you know.
Sometimes you get pigeonholed as a player, and when you're his size, it can easily be done. And I've noticed a thing, and just my football career and noticing other players as well, sometimes some players are better running at goals and some are better running away from goals, even if you're a forward, right? And he looks so much better when he's running directly at the ground, at the goals, because yeah, he knows where he's going.
He always reads
the ball well, and like you said, he was interviewed, I think, Dan, you just said muscle. He said that in an interview after the game. He's put a bit of size on, and confidence is big. Doesn't matter what team you're in, where you're on the ladder, you've got confidence. Mm. Everyone lifts.
Yeah.
Let's talk quickly about Richmond, because they got off to a good start, and people are going to, and it's interesting, you listen to podcasts and radio shows today, they're without Taranto, Hopper, Prestia, Bolter, Grimes and Lynch, you know, and then they lost Short in the second quarter. Well, guess what? Welcome to the Eagles' nightmare over 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what happens, you know. So, and it comes down to your depth. So if you want to sit there and whinge about injuries, Tigers, we don't want to hear it because we've been doing it for 2 years. They started brightly really well. Shea Bolton had two goals really quickly. He's dangerous. Could have had a third. They couldn't take territory in the second half, and we had it more in our forward half, and they had 26 fewer inside 50s than us, and that's usually us on the other receiving end. So that's the Richmond thing, you know. Liam Baker was really lively at the start, and I remember Wayne's going, who the hell's on Liam Baker? Kept on messaging saying, who the hell's on Liam Baker? And they tried a few players on him. They curbed him because I think he had 12 possessions in the first quarter, and he only had 25 for the whole game. Nick Blossom took one of the marks of the year. Well, that was good, but yeah, 24 possessions, didn't really notice him. Shea Bolton, 21 possessions, 3 goals. So he did his bit. And Dan Rioli sort of got a little bit into it, but the game was over then. And I want to ask you this question. Is Dustin Martin fit? Because at the ground, it didn't look like he was fit.
I think it's sad, but... Yeah, like we've been through. I look at Richmond now as what we were 3-4 years ago. You know what I mean? I remember we the year basically Yo got osteitis pubis, so it was 3 years ago. And I remember we started losing players. We didn't make the eight for the first time in 6 years, and then the wheels fell off. You get these injuries. Your star players, like, you know, we lost Nick Nat. You know, Yo was injured. You know, we've now lost Huey Hearn. You know, JK, Redden, they all left. And I think Dusty's in that window now. Not not discouraging or saying he's bad. He's had a marvellous career. One of the greatest final players I have ever seen in my life. I still have Gary Ablett Jr. as the best player I've ever seen. But pure finals, he was just something special. But, yeah, I agree. Even on TV, he doesn't look fit. He doesn't look like he's running. But he doesn't look like he cares much either, which is what I found really fascinating about the game.
Yeah, yeah. That was interesting. It sounded like he didn't really want to be there, especially in the last quarter. He never really runs it, walks across the line. He did it 3 times in a row, and just you tell his body language. I don't know if it was because they were defeated, but, yeah, sorry if you're butting in there, Wayne, but I noticed that in the last quarter.
No, so I watched Richmond last week when they played that gather round, and I really liked his game because they started him actually in the middle of the ground, and he was the reason why they really got off that great start, and then he played a really good game. So I thought, gee, this would be a good matchup next week. But I agree, yesterday they started him down the forward line, I think, and I think you're a midfielder. That's where you play.
He didn't play. He didn't play much in the midfield.
No, but I reckon when they had that start, maybe they thought, well, he's going to play in the midfield. But I don't think they realised that Elliot Yeo was going to take the game over completely in the midfield in the last 6 minutes of that first quarter and all the second quarter, and completely change the game for everyone. To their whole team. So, you know, no, I would have had Dusty in there.
Well, I'm going to jump in there because you mentioned the great man himself. 15 clearances, mate. 15 clearances. That is amazing by Elliot Yeo. Like, and he really shows what we've been missing. Like, he hasn't been, they say for 2 years, but it's been 3. When we were in the hub, I remember we went to Queensland, that's when he got his OP. And that was 3 years ago. So he really hasn't been able to get to that level. He honestly hasn't. We've had to play him in the back line at stages because he just couldn't do it anymore. It's great to see him get a game, and he's kicking goals. Did he kick 1 or 2 goals?
1 goal.
1, wasn't it? 1 goal, 27 disposals. Amazing game by Yeo.
Yeah. And I think it takes the pressure off Tim Kelly too. Kelly's playing a bit more freedom. And then you got Harley Reid. I think it took some real, it takes pressure off TK because last 2 years, he's been the man who's the only one been getting it out of the middle for us, really.
Yeah.
And he's looking so much freer now. And he's threatening to kick goals. Like, Dan, you love this. You love the mids kicking goals. It's one of your favourite. And he's on the verge of, kicking a couple, 2 or 3 goals a game.
Well, that was his strength in Geelong, really, wasn't it? The fact he could convert a lot more. But in here, we just had to have him more in the coal face, in the engine room. I found too in the first quarter, he's the one that almost changed the game for us. It was actually, people won't notice this, it was actually he and Darling. We got off to such a slow start. I think, here we go. And it was so bad. Then all of a sudden, I think Kelly had 9 disposals in that first quarter, had 3 clearances, but they were like real crisp clearances. And then Darling got us on the board. He kicked the first goal. But people might not realise he's the one that got the ground ball get to Reid for Reid's goal. So, he kicked the first goal, set up the second goal for Reid, and then you got Kelly in the midfield. Those two got us in the game. And then after that, God, it was almost like the Eagles cream roast to the top, didn't it?
Well, the Eagles were fierce at stoppages. We won the clearances by 23, the second biggest differential in 10 years. Mind you, and we scored 66. So that's 11 goals from clearances. And that's the equal 5th most in our last 10 years. So showed you how dominant we were around the ball and in our midfield. And because you guys are talking about the players, I'll jump to it. That was brilliant. And, it's going to be interesting come Brownlow night who gets the free votes. Will it be him? Or will it be Jake Waterman? Because Jake Waterman, he stood up and played the best game of his career. 6 goals, 18 disposals, 13 marks, 4 tackles, 4 inside 50s, 8 pressure acts, 314 metres gained for full forward, and 11 score involvements. That was the best game. And you could see at the ground, he was pumped, mate. He was on fire. And he knew he was going to have a day out. So we, as a conglomerate. We did our votes and we gave Waterman top votes. All three of us ended up with 9, Yo 4, Reed 3, and Kelly 2. And Yo, well, he shows you how good a year he's having. He's an All-Australian year because he's leading our votes with 30 votes from McGovern with 27. So what other players stood out to you, boys? You know, briefly, I thought Kelly was extraordinary. In any other game, he would have got best on ground.
I found our top four was just above everyone, and I mean on the entire ground. So Waterman, Yo, Kelly, and Reed, I found they were just amazing. And Wayne made the comment earlier, because they excelled, it lifted everyone else, so to speak. But I've already touched on all those players, so I'll mainly focus on Waterman. That was the best forward performance I've seen from an Eagle in years. We've had Allen kick lots of goals. We've had Josh Kennedy in his day kick lots of goals. But they weren't getting 18 disposals and kicking those goals. Do you know what I mean? But his work up and down the ground, he was on fire. And he knew it. Like, the ball was just sticking to his hands. Like, I kept having to look his hands, make sure he didn't have one of those illegal NFL gloves, you know what I mean? Because he was just plucking them from the air. Like, I haven't seen an all-round forwards game like that in, I can't remember. And I'm not saying he's the best forward. I'm just saying that actual game as a one-off sample size was amazing. 18 disposals, 6 goals. It's just, that's crazy territory. And you saw him, like, take marks in the back line or back half because he was getting so far up the ground. Like,
yeah. He's good on the ground as well, and he brought players in. He shepherded 2 through as well. It just showed you he was switched on, and he kept on pointing to the sky. I don't know what he was pointing at, but he kept on pointing to the sky each time, and you just knew at the ground there was a buzz about him. And I've been saying for a long time, if you leave him one out, he's going to be a good forward for us. But he's always paid second or third fiddle to JK or Darling or to Oscar, and he was the main man. Darling was a second man, you know. Darling was taking the ball to ground and stuff, and not. Darling, as I said, you know, he didn't get it on the scoreboard. He got 1 goal, but he played a really good game. He brought the ball to ground when he couldn't take it, and I thought his pressure and that in the forward line was brilliant. And we kept the ball in there. We locked it in there quite a lot, so that was a difference between probably the first 3 rounds where we could get it in there, especially the Bulldogs couldn't lock it in, and we locked it in.
Well, halfway through the first quarter, Darling was our leading possession getter.
Yep.
He had 7 in that first 15 minutes, and then Kelly took over. But one thing I'll say about Jake, it wasn't just that he got those goals and the way he got them. To me, it was that contested mark that he took. He took about 8 contested marks against a guy who was probably a good inch and a half, 2 inches bigger than him. But his strength in those marking duels, one-on-one, oh, God, that's... I agree with Dan. It's one of the best performances I've seen from a forward in an individual game. It's probably better than JK's last game. But he never got his marks he took. He never got a lot where, you know, like JK and Sumich and all these guys would lead out and get those good, you know, passing marks. He took them in a contested possession in either in front or behind. And I just think that's what really swayed me to give him the 3 votes is because of those contested marks.
Well, good kicking in the first half is good footy. We let ourselves down in the second half, as I said, 5 goals, 11. It shows you what happens when you're on song. If you look at all the stats, usually we're always on the receiving end, but I'm going for all more, and pretty much we're ahead on all of them except the hit-outs. So with the hit-outs, I want to talk to you about the game. How did you see Bailey Williams? Because to me, I thought he was probably... if not the better ruckman on the ground.
I had him in our top 6 players. I thought he played a really good game.
He seems to, once he, and it comes to that C word again, confidence. He takes a couple of grabs early and he goes for it. And like you said, clearances, I didn't see his clearances. I can now go and quickly have a look. But, you know, he did some good stuff in that in the ruck and up against what's his name, Nankervis. He's no easy ruckman to play against. You know, he's a big bugger, but I noticed the size difference. Bailey was always jumping over the top, and Nankervis sort of worked it out towards the end that he was jumping a bit early sometimes. But you got to take your hat off. He's playing really good football, and it's an all-round performance. I don't think there's many passengers at all to really tell you the truth. You know, Ryan Merrick took a while to get into the game, but, you know, I don't know if you saw it on the TV. He got into a few – he was giving it a bit behind play for a couple of the players, so it was good. He was getting into them. So if you're not getting the ball, you get into the players and make them earn it.
I'll tell you what, and I don't know if you boys noticed this, and you were alive at the game, was it? So I don't know if you noticed this. The camaraderie the team has right now, and we know where we're at. We're down the bottom, but they're not lacking spirit. They're not. Basically, what I'm getting at is, no matter what it was, and I'll use Chester as an example. Chester did a great tackle, and it was a great tackle. They were out, Richmond, but he locked that tackle, he locked that ball in.
Yeah.
And all the players then come around and pat him on the back, high five, you know, they all congratulate him over a tackle, you know, like, you did a great thing, that's what we want to see, you know what I mean? And they all get around. And I find that, like, Reed's wasn't his first goal, but they all get around him, you know, darling, you know, because he's been under so much pressure. He gets a goal. The whole team gets around him, you know. And it doesn't necessarily need to be goals. That's why I brought Chester into it. It's just anything they see around that was great or that is about the team game plan or implemented well, they get around each other. And that's just great to see. That's what you want to see from your team, you know, like, because we are going to have some bad losses again for this year. That's what makes this win so great. But you can just tell the spirit's up, that they're happy, they're there for the long haul. And a happy team like that, I think we may get a few more wins this year because of it.
I think too, you look at Harley Reid said, I think it was in last week's interview, they had a real players open meeting where it was only the players, and they, it sounds like they got a lot of shit off their chest, and everyone was honest and everyone was direct. And, you know, he said it was, this happened before the Sydney game, and it showed. And you look at, even at the end of the game, the young guys are all around each other, like Jinby and Chester and Reed and Long, they're all around each other. And yeah, it was really good. It was just great to watch. And that was, there were two great interviews at the end of the game with Harley and Jake. They both spoke very well, and you know, you could tell there's that these, you know, I've been wondering about Simo, but maybe has got him going. But I think yesterday saved his skin a bit. I'm still not totally convinced, but they're certainly going in the right direction. But it sounds like the players are driving that direction too.
Yeah. Well, he's coaching for his job, isn't he, Wayne? Like, yeah. I'm a Simo fan, but even I'm at that place, that spot where, yeah, he's coaching for his career. So we had a good effort against Sydney. We've now got the win. You know, as we said, he can't have 100-point losses. That's the key to this season. And we've got to be competitive and in way more games. Time will tell. I'll tell you this, though. It's been so long since we've won a game. I don't know how you boys were. I almost didn't enjoy it. I was on the edge of my seat. I was so anxious. Like, it got to, we were 40 points up, but we can't let it get below 40 points or they'll come back, you know. I was legit that worried. And I was a bit like you, was it, you said at the beginning, where when they kicked the first four goals, it was 27 points to one. I thought, oh, no, here we go. Like, what's going to happen there? And then they flicked the switch and, I'm not used to seeing everything go our way, you know what I mean? Like, just we made it look easy at times just because, and I think that was more to do with the contributors. We had so many contributors, we weren't relying on one player. So it always looked like all in control, which, definitely not used to it. I had a smile on my face, but I was a nervous wreck. I think I would have been shaking. The wife was laughing at me because I was so nervous on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, look, we controlled the corridor, and that's about winning the game these days, and that's where it comes down to. Hey, look, quickly, because we're doing this via Zoom, so we're limited with time. It was a great day for Eagles fans. You know, we won two games in the same day. The Waffle. Did you boys get to watch? I watched quite a lot of it, and, you know, the Eagles, you know, they beat their reigning premiers 13-17, 95 to 4-7 91. So they won by 4 points. It was interesting because East Fremantle rushed 4 points. So it would have been a draw if they didn't rush them, but that's, you know, big ifs. Sheed had 25 disposals, seven marks. Zane True again, 24 disposals, one goal, six tackles. Jones played 24 disposals, four marks, five tackles. Liam Ryan, the interesting one, 19 disposals off a halfback flank. Will they try that in the AFL? So most of the boys put in, and yeah, it was just a good win for them. That, you know, held on. They didn't get the lead until late in the third quarter, and you know, again, you're probably sitting there thinking, "Well, we'll probably get robbed by East Fremantle. They won the premiership last year, and they just dug in, and it was some of the top up boys that helped out doing it as well." So I don't know, did you get to watch any of it, boys?
No, I did. You go, Wayne.
No, sorry, I didn't see any of it. So I only just saw I saw some highlights, I read the stats, but I sent them off to you guys the other. I was really surprised when I heard about Liam Ryan playing halfback. So, you know, yeah, it'd be interesting.
He was only supposed to play 50 minutes of the game, end up playing nearly the whole game. And if you listen to Schofield's little talk on his Shout to Footy podcast today, that he knew all week that he was playing halfback line, and they made a few jokes. So I'll teach you how to spoil. And Liam Ryan's response was, "No, I was taking Specky over the top of him." So he shows you you can put a forward up the back, but he was still playing like a forward. But he played really good. And I just thought, you know, the game was there to be won, and we won it. Horde probably didn't have as much of the ball as possible. He played in midfield. And I tell you, one guy I really like the look of is Harvey Johnston.
Yeah. See, my takeaway from the game was, which we just touched on, Ryan played half back. That was interesting, 19 disposals. And he's ready to come straight back in after one game. I don't think he needs to – he's not a midfielder, doesn't need to work on the engine as much. My second take, which is bad news for Gaff, I think Sheed already in his second game back. I think we're bringing a senior player, and Sheed's probably overtaken him already, which is great news for him. We only have Luke Edwards out, so you don't know how many inclusions. A third point was True for the second week in a row has really performed, got a few touches, and as Wayne said, I love a goal kick in midfield. I think they're worth their weight in gold. It's the second consecutive week he's kicked goals playing in the midfield too. So they're probably my, big takes from the game. Great to see a win. We had so many behinds too, so it was actually a good effort. It's not like we just scraped across the line. If we were a bit more accurate, we could have won by a bit more. It's not more in-depth with the waffle wrap or this week's podcast. It's my fault. My car broke. Basically not broken down. But, yeah, we'll get back in the studio and give you more in-depth analysis next time.
No, yeah, a lot of people have been messaging Eagle Nation going, "How come True's not getting a game?" I don't know, guys. Email the West Coast Eagles because we're asking the same question. I think it was a third. I think he got a goal in each of his three games, say, as a midfielder, and he's playing inside as well. You made a good point, Sheed and Gaff. I didn't even notice Gaff, to be honest. I saw three quarters of it, and when he did get the possessions, it just probably wasn't a damaging with it. I'm liking the look of Cully's probably not getting as much of the ball, but when he gets it, he's dangerous. And Barnett in the ruck was up against Bryn Teagle, who was on Port Adelaide's list last year. And Bryn Teagle's no easy beat. And I thought Barnett, some of his tap work was to our advantage, was really well executed. And, you know, if he keeps doing that, he is going to be a good player. People just got to give him time because he is still young. So that are my takeouts on the thing, and they play Peel next Saturday, and it's at Optus Stadium, boys, at 2 p.m.
The curtain raiser to the game, isn't it?
Are the Eagles playing on Saturday, are they?
Yeah, I believe so.
So it must be the curtain raiser. So, yeah, if you want to get down earlier, I thought it was a Sunday for some reason. I hate Sunday games, but, that would be the curtain raiser. That's probably hence why it's at Optus, so...
You don't have the time off the top of your head, do you, Wazza?
Pardon?
You don't have the time off the top of your head, do you, Wazza?
For the Eagles, it's 6 o'clock, and for people, so 2 p.m.
Oh, I might go out for a lunch, so I'm not nervous waiting all day for the game. And make a day out of it, come back, watch the Waffle Boys, and yeah, sounds like a day.
Yeah, look, you know, it's something that it gets development into the Waffle guys, you know, and it's showing that, you know, when you get at least 10 to 12 players, you can be competitive, and it's good for Eagles. But the big pressing thing for the Waffle is they've got 3 weeks, I think, or less to decide if they're going to go in it next year. My gut feel is they're going to go another year. I don't know what you guys are thinking, but that's just my gut feel just on from what I'm hearing. So would you like to see him go one more year, or do you just want to cut the cord and get into the VFL?
I'd love us to get into the VFL. I've always wanted us to get in there. But I think there's a lot of planning ahead if you're going to go into something like that. It's not just something you can decide overnight. Maybe another year then into the VFL, but I'd like us to get out of the Waffle anyway.
See, what I want and what I think is two different things. I'm with Wayne 100%. I want them to join the second-tier competition because we can't run our second team with the most restrictions out of any team in the AFL. It's a handicap. We go into seasons handicapped. But will they? I don't think they will. I think if they wanted to, they would be the ones pushing it. All the noise out of the club would and around the club would be we're joining the VFL. But we're not hearing that. And for that sole reason, I think, yeah, we will be in the Waffle again next year. Not that I want that, but that's what I think will happen.
Yeah, there's we'll find out in the next couple of weeks because I think it'll start leaking. Well, I don't know if it's going to be the leak's the right word, but I think we might start hearing a few little things come out in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, I'm leaning towards another year in the Waffle. And if they're going to get their games into the players like they are now, it's good. Look, just recapping, West Coast Richmond, that was a pretty good win for us. And you got to be happy. And people, you know, all the stuff that goes on about the song and all that, I've never seen so many people sit there singing the song and singing the verse beat of it as well. So it can't be that bad. I don't know. What's your view on the song?
Surprised we can still remember it, to be honest. It's harsh, but true. We haven't heard it too often. All right, I'll throw this one at you quickly because we've got to wrap up. But I know you love the questions without notice. Harley Reid, do you reckon he will now sign for the fourth year, extend his contract?
Well, I've just
won't be for 2 weeks if he can, but
I've just got a news break here now that he's just done an ACL. No.
I think you just had half our people unsubscribe them, was it?
I reckon he'll extend myself. I reckon he'll take whatever has to come up. He'll take a couple of years. Well, I don't know. You tell me, what you said can only go for one year or something.
They changed the rules, the bastards, again. So they can extend for the 1 year only now.
Yeah.
And then in that final year, they can extend for as long as they friggin' want. So, and that's why a lot of them haven't rushed to sign just yet. For the ones that were drafted last year, we can't do it until round six anyway. So I'm guessing after the Freo game, you'll find out. I think if he does sign, the players will know beforehand. So, and it's good to see that because I don't know if you noticed that, but he's sort of like, he's a favourite with the players because he didn't kick a goal, but he set one up so all the players would run to him and smack him on the butt and stuff like that. You don't see that too much with other players, you know what I mean? And him and Yo, they're waxing on and off all game, and it's just at the ground. It was great to see. It was brilliant, and every time they got the ball, both of them, and the crowd just lifted. So if we can still see more of that, kiss the priority pick away because I think we'll be winning a few more games. But
I don't think we'll get it anyway.
We have to back it up in the Derby, which we will talk about later on in the week in Bouncedown. We have to back it up. There's no good having a win like that and then not backing up, at least in effort, in pressure, and in pride. So, you know, Fremantle are going to be a different team altogether. They're a Dow defence team. So if we can break them open, it'd be great to be on the winning side there because we know what the band is like when we lose, and it'd be good to be on the right side of that. But until then, that's it for another story and another podcast. Thanks for joining us, guys, today on Zoom. Hopefully we're back in the studio in the next week or so. We've had a few different technical difficulties over the last couple of weeks. So if there's anyone there with computers that wants to sponsor us, drop us a line on our socials. Go to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Go to Linktree, download all the shows from there. And till the next time, boys, go Eagles, eh?
Yeah, go Eagles. Good. Well done.
A fortress built, we crossed the nation, our colors shared.